Well, I want to start out today by saying that I am not confused. I may look confused, and sometimes I am confused about some things, but I'm not confused about today. I do know that today is Epiphany Sunday. In fact, the front of your bulletin says as much. It's Epiphany. And Epiphany is a Sunday every year where we celebrate the revelation of God the Son in the person of Jesus Christ. The epiphany that Jesus really is God in the flesh. And I also know that typically on this Sunday of the year, on Epiphany Sunday, we read the story of the wise men who come from the east and they follow this bright star until they find the place where this king, this new king, has been born. These wise men are the first Gentiles, the first non-Jewish people to receive the epiphany of who Jesus really is, that he is God the Son, God in the flesh. So that's usually what we talk about on Epiphany Sunday. But in the Eastern Orthodox Church, the focus of Epiphany is not on God's revelation to the wise men, but instead, the focus on Epiphany Sunday in the Eastern Church is Jesus' baptism. And so today, we're going to practice being Eastern Orthodox for the day. Okay, we're going to talk about baptism. In fact, not just today, but next Sunday as well, because next Sunday is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. So for these two Sundays, we're going to talk about baptism in general and Jesus' baptism in particular. And in order to get started with that, I have a couple questions for you. And these aren't rhetorical questions. I'm really going to look for your answer. So the question is, what do you think of when you think of water? What words come to mind when you hear the word water? Got to be a little bit louder. I'm getting older. Brad Paisley? I don't even know who that is. This is one of our staff members at the church. You pray for us really hard, okay, guys? All right, so everybody except Lee Randall, what do you think of when you hear the word water? Pure. Cool. I heard nourish. Thirst. Refreshing, okay? Who said that? Where is that? That voice came from over. The universal solvent. There is a science person in this sanctuary. Well, I don't know that I was anticipating that one, but those are all things that we think of when we think of water. We think of refreshment. We think of, somebody said cool. We think of washing. We think of, sometimes we think of life. Because water is necessary for life. And so all of those are things that definitely are good answers for what you think of when you think of water. Those are a little bit different than the answers I received when I asked that same question of some people in Honduras. This was way back in 1999. I went on a mission trip to Utila. Utila is this tiny little island off the coast of Honduras. And really, it's just a fishing village. And most of the men on the island actually don't spend that much time on the island at all because they're out to sea. They're fishing all the time. And a few months before we went on this mission trip, that island was devastated by Hurricane Mitch. Some of you may remember Hurricane Mitch. It was a Category 5, and it dumped 75 inches of rain on the coast of Honduras. It did lots of devastation. And so we went to help the people of Utila rebuild after that storm. And so that's what we did. During the day, we helped them rebuild their island. And then at night, we had a Bible study. And in one of those Bible studies, we were looking at the passage where Jesus was baptized. And I asked them that question, what do you think of when you think of water? But their answers were a little bit different. I guess that's to be expected after a hurricane, after 75 inches of rain. But here's what their answers were. What they thought of when they heard the word water was power, flooding, destruction, and death. Quite a difference, huh? And yet both are right. Water is cool and refreshing. And we do think of washing and the universal solvent. And we think of life. But also, water can mean death. So water is life and death. So with that in mind, and with baptism on the brain, it's really a good day to think about water and baptism, right? You had to wade through some of it to get here. With that in mind, with baptism on the brain, we'll go to our scripture passage. It comes from Romans chapter 6, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. The death He died to sin, once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me out this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you, and I'd like for you to ask them this question. Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? The Apostle Paul can be jarring. In fact, when I read this passage this week, that's the first thing I thought was, wow, Paul is tough. And at least for me, this passage is jarring because I was thinking about baptism. And then reading through this passage for today, pretty much right out of the gates, Paul is in your face. Verse 3 is a good example. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Hold on a minute, Paul. Did you say that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus has also been baptized into His death? Death is not what I think of when I think of baptism. I mean, of course, I'm United Methodist, so usually when I think of baptism, I think of cute little babies in all dressed up in white gowns and adoring family members that all sit over here in the front part of the sanctuary, and they wait till the baptism comes around, and then they hang around after the service is over and take like 5,000 pictures. That's what I think of when I think of baptism. I think of baptismal gowns. I think of the banner that we put up that says your name has been called. And I think of brunch. Everybody goes to brunch after the service is over. Those are the things that I think of when I think of baptism, birth and babies and happiness. But when Paul starts talking about baptism, he's kind of a curmudgeon. He doesn't start talking about babies or brunch or any of that. He starts talking about death. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And then he continues, "Therefore we've been buried with Him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. It's almost like Paul is saying that there, in baptism, in our life in Christ, there is a connection between life and death. That life and death is somehow linked. In fact, what Paul seems to be saying is that the normal progression of life as we experience it, where we live and then we slowly fade into death over time as we age, we slowly fade into death. Paul seems to be saying that in baptism and in this life of faith, that normal progression gets reversed. And instead of going from life to death, we are transformed from death into life. And Paul's talking about these matters and as if baptism is a matter of life and death. It reminds me of a story that Bishop Will Willman tells about this trip he took to Germany. And he was in this suburb of Berlin and decided, Sunday came around, he decided he was going to go to worship in the small Lutheran church in the community. And so he showed up early and he's going up the steps to the church and this Mercedes pulls up in front of the church and out gets a family and they've got a one of those babies dressed in all white and lace and there's video cameras recording the baby's every move. And immediately he knows, well, there's going to be a baptism today in the service. And so they went through the service and there were a couple of hymns and a sermon. And he said all the adoring relatives endured all of that stuff. They endured the hymns and the sermon just to get to the thing that they were most interested in, which was the baptism. He said, time came for the baptism, and this dour German pastor stood up and invited the family to come forward. And once again, the video cameras came out and started to whir, and all of a sudden, this pastor just blurted out, stop, turn the cameras off. This is not a movie. We're not in a theater here, people. This is church. We're getting ready to do a baptism. We're getting ready to take this child and lay across her life the cross of Christ. This could be difficult. This is painful. Turn the cameras off. Because we don't want anything to distract the parents or the church about this solemn, difficult, hard, holy business we're about to engage in. Baptism is about life, but it's also about death. And Willman said he was sort of taken aback at this pastor's bravery, maybe just harshness. And I agree, this pastor was pretty harsh. But he was also right. Because that's exactly what Paul is saying in this passage. Baptism is a matter of life and death, or more accurately, the way Paul describes it, baptism is a matter of death and life, about us being transformed by God's grace, moving us from death into life. Again, Paul says in verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Now what Paul meant was not that in baptism we would literally die. What he meant was that we, in baptism, we figuratively would die. That our predisposition to sin would flatline. That all of our thinking and behavior that is contrary to the way God designed us would expire. That in baptism, anything in us that is not pleasing to God would kick the bucket. That the greed that grips us, or our sinful pride, or our love for gossip, our addictions, our envy and bitterness, all of that stuff, Paul is saying in baptism, that stuff has to die. So that, in Paul's words, we may be raised to life. We may walk in newness of life. So that we might be liberated from slavery to sin. So that our lives might look more and more and more like the life of Jesus. So that we might love more and more like Jesus loved. So, I'd imagine most of us in this sanctuary have been baptized. Can you see that transformation in you? Can you see the ways in which the Spirit is working that transformation from death to life, that death to sin into life in Christ? God wants to work that in us, in each of us, so that we might unlearn the habits of sin and learn to be more like Jesus. One day in seminary, there was a group of my friends after class. One day we were sitting around in the student lounge, and we were talking about grace. We just had this big lecture on Wesley's concept of grace and what God's grace means for us. And so we were talking about grace and how, because of no effort of our own, God chose to save us by grace and forgive us of our sins. And we were talking about how great that is, how incredible and boundless and amazing God's grace is. We were talking about how wonderful it is to be forgiven by God. And all of a sudden, there was this one student who wasn't Methodist. In fact, he was an Eastern Orthodox priest from Turkey. And he just said, "Look, God, okay, yes, for goodness sake, we are saved by grace. Our sins are forgiven. That is true. But don't you people ever talk about sinning less? Why don't you talk about that? God wants us to grow in holiness. God really does want us to die to sin." We didn't invite him back to our discussions after that. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage. And he gets really clear a little bit later in verse 11. "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." You must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, we believe that something happens in the waters of baptism, that God begins working in this sacrament. God begins drowning those parts of us that are not like God created us to be. God starts this process of moving us from death to life as we unlearn the habits of sin and learn to be more like Jesus. We believe God works in all that, in that process. And it is a process. Martin Luther said, "Baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that takes a lifetime to complete." Baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that takes a lifetime to complete. Are you dead yet? What sins do you still struggle with? Are you making efforts to work, cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Because only God's grace can transform us, but we can certainly cooperate with the Holy Spirit by practicing spiritual discipline, scripture reading and prayer and worship and serving and fasting. All of those things are ways that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our own transformation. So what are those things that in your life you need to die to? Because I suspect that none of us are really quite dead yet to sin. We're probably all still on the process, in the journey, on the journey, in the process somewhere. So what are those things that you still struggle with? What consistently keeps your life from looking like the life of Jesus? Because here we are at the beginning of a new year. 2014 is in the books, and 2015 lies before us. And there's opportunity this year to cooperate with the Spirit so that when this time rolls around next year, our lives will look more like Jesus than they do now. So what sins continuously keep you from becoming all God created you to be? Here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to come to the table in just a few minutes. Celebrate another of the church's sacraments, Holy Communion. And before we come, I'd like for us to spend some time just in silent prayer, confessing our sins before God, knowing, trusting in God's grace that God has promised, that God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I want us to take some time to confess our sins to God and to pray that the Spirit would help us to die to sin. so that we might be alive in Christ and walk in newness of life. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we are grateful. We're grateful for your amazing and boundless grace, and we're grateful for the promise that you've given us that if we confess our sins, that you who are faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We stand on that promise today, O God, as we have confessed our sins to you. We know that we're broken, O God. We sin even when we don't intend to. Sometimes we sin when we do intend to. We're guilty of pride and greed and envy and bitterness. God, by your grace, we pray that you'd wipe our slate clean. Not only do we stand on your promise to forgive us, O God, but we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would work within us to bring forth the transformation from death to life. We pray that you give strength in us to die to our sins so that we might be alive to you through your Son Jesus. And we pray, O God, that we might experience more and more every day what it means to walk in newness of life. We ask all of these things through Jesus, who makes our forgiveness and transformation possible. Amen. So are you dead yet? It's the only way to truly live. Amen.